Torreway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Tess Eor, 21st of April. Rabdudi Rosenberg standing in at short notice for the speaker who was unable to arrive.
Okay, Hagur, not short notice, no notice. 30 seconds, precisely 1 minute to prepare shiur, so whatever comes to mind, that's what is going to be recited. All right. Parshas HaShavua is Achai Mois Shnai B'nai Aharon Kavus B'nai Hashem Vayumisi. This is referring to the Misa Nebuch of the two children of Aharon HaKohen who went in to the Kodesh HaKodesh. Which reminds me of Holton's Fasemis, but let's go step by step. There is a famous Medrash. The Gemara says that with reference to the hearing and recognizing the what happened to the Shnei Bnei Aharon, Eov said, Al Zois Yechrad Libi. When he heard the master of Shnei Bnei Aharon Vayimisi, he said, on this it will cause my heart to shudder. So the Shaychus, Eov has got with Shnei Bnei Aharon, needs a stickl a hezber. So there is a gemura which says that there was a format of people walking, and klalis were walking, and after them skainam, or Moshe Rabbeinu was going ahead together with the Haran, and behind them were walking Ludubavi, and they said, Musa yumisi shnai skainim aluli, vani vaatu nani gesado. Remarkable thing to say, but he said, when will these two elders pass on to a better world, and I and you will take over and run this generation? And then the Baskol apparently came out and said, Nire mi koibes mi. We will see who is going to make the first demise. And now, in view of all this, Rafa Doch Verstein, first of all, why they said such a thing altogether, and it seems very out of line to for two tzaddikei hador. In view of that, we have to understand that one of them was l'cha'oira, the passive one, and the other one was the active one, because the person who passed the comment was Nudov, and he said it to Avi, and he said it to him. When are one of these two elders going to pass on, and we will take over? So l'cha'oira, the one who made the remark was Nudov. If anybody was going to get punished, it was him. And yet, in conclusion, was that both Nudov and Avi both were taken from this world. Which means that sometimes a person who is on the is a passive person who is on the receiving end is equally culpable as the person who is actually saying it. Now, Rabbi is in the Lushen Horror, so the Daluchas of Lushen Horror actually cover that it's koiva three people, the one who says it, who receives it, and the person who's spoken about. But here, you have a story, if you go now in reference to Eov, that there were, as the Gemara relates, in Mitzrayim, three Yoyatzim, when they said famous words, Huvu Nischak Moloi. And at that point, was Eov, there was Bilam, and there was Yisroel. So Eov was the one who, he was just silent, he was passive. He let things pass. Yisroel took a stand, and he ran out of the room and he left. Whereas third one was Bilam. He was the one which was the instigator of the plan in the first place. So Bilam was the one which was killed. As Bilam ben Boyer Horgi Bachurev. And at the same time, Eov was Nido in Biyisirim, which means he from now on until his demise, he was plagued with boils and with all terrible things. And Yisroel was Zuchi ben Aibunov, and they actually were Yoishvim Belishka Saguzes, and they were in the Sanhedrin, and they were Poskim on Klal Yisrael. Now, on the face of it, you think of Yisroy, he took a stand, and he said, I'm leaving, I'm not going to be part of this sinister meeting, and I don't want to be, don't want to share it. So he ran and he made, he voted with his feet. Whereas you had Bilam, who was the instigator, of course, met his fate. On the other hand, Eoiv, he just was silent. So we know that the Rebbein Shalom always gives Midah Keneged Midah. So what is the Midah Keneged Midah? That he was didn't be a Sirem. So the famous word from the Bris Keruv is well recounted, is that when a person suffers and he's bedbound and he's lying there, he's like Eev was with boils and with all sorts of ailments, was nothing really that would help him by the fact that he would krechts. Oy, stitvai, oy, stitvai. But the Teretz says, the Bris Keruv says, that even though that it's not going to do much for you when you krechts, but the fact is, as a stitvai, shrat, that was his famous line. And therefore, if you are upset as a result that Jewish children are being cast into the Nile on a daily basis and being literally a genocide or infanticide of little children being drowned on a daily basis, and you do, it doesn't bother you very much. The only reason that you're silent is because it doesn't bother you. If it did, then you would say, Oy vai, wie kann man sie kicken zu dem? How can we witness such a thing? So Memaila, Eoiv was the one who heard Huvun Ischak Moloi and Kol Aben Haye Ayiloid Haye Oiru Tashlichihi, didn't do that much about it. He was quite silent, and therefore the Rebbein Shalom was done Midah Keneged Midah, that if you cared, you would have krechts at least. It doesn't help, but at least you would have shown that you joined them in their pain. But the main thing is that Eoiv here is the passive one. And now he recognizes that if Nudov and Avihu, so many years before, were punished, not only Nudov, who was the active one, but Avihu, who was the passive one, was equally taken away from this world. Now we understand the words of the Medrash, Al Zois Yechrad Libi, that this is what how he responded to this. For, and upon hearing this, Achrei Mois Shnai B'nai Aharoim B'Kavusom B'Fnei Hashem V'Yumisi Yechrad Libi, that his heart will shudder, simply because he recognized that this would be the fate of someone who is not, who is just a passive person to this whole saga. So now, from this point, it's worthwhile going to just for a moment to Yisrael. If it's Midah Keneged Midah, then the question would remain: why Yisrael, who was the one who voted with his feet and ran out of the room, why he was the Chayre? That his children were the ones who sat in the Sanhedrin Agudel next to the Beis Hamikdash. If we're speaking that the Rebbein Shloim's methodology is one way, it's always Midah Keneged Midah, what's the shaykhes of the children of Yisroel sitting in Belishka Saguzes? So for this, I thought once that maybe the answer is as follows. In the same way that we explained about Eoiv, that the krecht is not really going to do much, but it shows that you are there and it hurts you. In the same way that Yisroel knew that his defiance, in as much that he wasn't part of it, that he ran out of the room and he wasn't going to be part of it, is also not going to change much. The raya is that this is exactly what happened. Klal Yisroel at this moment of time were doomed, Rachmon Litzlan, to this terrible, terrible gezeira. And women were having children, and if not for the intervention of Shifra and Pio, they would have killed hundreds and thousands of little children. But the Masa is, the Yisroel said, I am not going to be part of this. So the message that Yisrael was giving over here was, it's true that my fleeing the room and showing with my feet and voting with my feet is not actually going to do very, very much, but the injustice here is unfathomable. What does he mean? If you say, like, if you think about it along the lines of the Second World War, when you had Hitler who decided that he was going to wage war against the Jewish race, so he came up with what he called proposed reasons, that they are vermin, they are dangerous, they have terrible ideologies, they are a threat financially, commercially, there's espionage, a whole range of things which is explained in Mein Kampf to explain the reasoning why the Jewish religion, the Jewish race, is one which has got to be eradicated from the earth. But if you think about it by way of a little baby, a child who's just been born, you can't say that this child is a threat to the world, because he's just literally entered the world, so how can he be a threat to the world? And taking such a child and casting him into the water and killing him is l'chaveira mamish the greatest injustice that can be done. You cannot do such a thing to a baby in the same way that he did, and he took little babies and threw them into gas chambers. In Memaile, Yisroel said, this to me spells the ultimate injustice that can be, and I am not going to be part of it. So Memaile the Rebbein Shloilem, in an act of midah keneged midah, said, okay, you have stood up because you feel that an injustice has been perpetrated against babies, and you feel that for the sake of emes and the sake of din, that you are not going to be part of it. Your schis will be midah keneged midah, that your children and grandchildren are going to be part in a place which is going to represent the ultimate justice. It's going to be Kaviyuchel, the supreme Besdin of the whole of Klal Yisrael, which is going to sit at the Beis Hamikdash and to mete out right from wrong. And therefore you have the Midah Keneged Midah by Yisroel, again, that he's running away, took a stand about right and wrong and injustice. This is Tam Ha'ura on the Achei Moed from the opening. A quick halachic thought, which will say, you know that we're speaking about the Yom Kippur here, so just for a moment, once a shalom was posed, Chaim de Gemur speaks about it as well, what's the din if Shabbos and Yom Kippur fall together? Choyre, you know, we come into Shabbos and to Yom Kippur, when they're joined, and essentially, maybe except for the difference of the brucha when you light the lechter, but Your entry into Yom Kippur and to Kol Nidre is not that much different than a regular year. So the question is posed. We know that there's a din, I'll say it briefly, of Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yom HaKippurim. And you add to the existing period of time, and you give in a Tosefos of time where you bring in this man early. So what's standing in the way of a person doing the following? He wants to benefit from Shabbos, and at the same time he has to look after Yom Kippur as well. So Memaile, let him make the following plan. He brings in Shabbos, with Tosfos Shabbos earlier, so that he's got an hour before Yom Kippur by the Seder Mafsekes. He sits down, he'll make Kiddush, and he'll say, Yoyim Ashishi V'achil Yashmaim, bring the challahs in the gefilte fish, and the soup, et zingen kol mekadesh shvi, im menicha v'simcho. When he's finished the whole thing, and he benches, and he says, of course, chutzai, Shabbos, close the chapter, now we open the din of Yom Kippur, we get around a shil, kol nidrei, and he's dressed in white, and he brings in the second stage, phase two. So why can he not do, how do you say, play both games? He should be able to have the benefit of Shabbos Kodesh and Seder's Friday night, and then subsequently he'll bring in Tosfos Yom Kippur, which we have to do anyway, just a little bit later, in order to facilitate him having both. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Bris Geruv who answered to this. that there is a din of Tosfos and Iker, which means Tosfos and Iker means that you are adding to something where there is a chiv in the very in the Yesodistic instance. Where there is a chiv of Shabbos, which means that we have to celebrate Shabbos, then you can say that we can add on to this time. So if Shabbos comes in 7 o'clock, we make Shabbos at 6 o'clock or even earlier. But if there is no chiv on the Iker, that means that there is, because of Yom Kippur, all the dinim of Shabbos have now become submissive, so to speak, to it. And there is no longer any chiv of dinim of Shabbos at all. You can't have a Tosefes, which is more than the Iker itself. So therefore the Iker of Shabbos has, so to speak, dissipated. You cannot add to it a Tosefes that is more than the Iker chiv. That was the vote on the Halachic perspective. I just, there's not much time left, so I'll just finish off with the following he'ura on loisikoim veloisito. We know that there's a difference. It's brought down in this week's seder. Lekuma means for a person the classic response to the man who comes to ask for the lawnmower, and he says to him, "I'm not giving you my lawnmower. I don't lend it out to anybody." And of course, the following week, the neighbor comes back and he asks him, "Do you mind if I use your drill? You've got a good electric drill. I need to fix my fence." And he says to him, "People that don't lend their lawnmowers don't get my drills either." That's Nekuma. But of course, the Natira is the one who says, "You know what? I'm not like you. You know what? I'm not such a nasty, selfish, egocentric person. You, Taka, didn't give me your lawnmower because you're a weasel. But I am going to give you my drill, notwithstanding the fact because I'm not like you." That's the difference between the Kuma and the Tire, as outlined by the Mforsha. But, I'm trying to remember, I think it was the Ramchal that said that the Torah asks of a person to overcome an inclination which is so overwhelming that this is a fight within himself. And what he's referring to is, the English saying is, revenge is sweet. And he describes it like that. In his solution, he says there that the seekers of getting your own back on somebody who, for example, humiliated you, and you watch that person suffering the same fate, gives the person the feeling, there's justice for you. It's been done. Things have straightened themselves out. And the Torah says, yeah, just because you have those hagushas, that's why you should fight them and submit them and overcome them and not do it. So that's the din of Loisikim Loisita. I just saw last night, Tzufelik, a master that happened with Abisul Salanta, who was traveling from Varsha to Vilna in a train. And he was in the train in a carriage where a young gentleman entered the carriage, and the man in question, the Ingeman, had just been given the order of the boot by his father-in-law to tell him that it's time, sort of, you should take a job and do something to bring in Sempanusa. And so this young man thought that the best thing he could offer was to become a shoychet. But to become a shoychet, he needs to have a ksav kabula, and the best place to do that would be Vilna. And so he was off there, he did his studies, and he'd done his preparation, whatever. The nature of the type of young man, you'll see, is the story unfolds. Because as soon as he sat down in the carriage, which was a smoking carriage, the only person who was sharing with him was Rasul Salanta. Was not dressed particularly in a rabbinical garb that would define him as a good lador, but he was there. 15 minutes into the trip, he lit a cigarette of Rasul Salanta and he smoked. This young man, who was half his age, gets up, says to him, "Ah, chitzpah, how dare you? Smoking is disturbing me. Where do you think you are? Don't you consider anybody else?" Rasul Salanta gets up from his seat and goes up to the young man. "I really apologize. I'm sorry for inconveniencing you." He didn't point to the fact that there was a smoking compartment written clearly there. And he extinguished his cigarette and said, "Forgive me, I'm sorry." 20 minutes passed again, and the young man steps up. Old man in this carriage gets on my nerves. A window open, a draft, it's freezing in here. Some people don't think about anybody else. Ah, chitzpah. It's disgusting. I can't imagine how people like this are allowed on trains altogether. And Rasul Salam heard, got up from his seat, went over to the window, and turns to the young man. He says to him, I'm really sorry. I apologize. I must point out to you, I was not the one that opened this window, but I'm seeing it disturbs you. And he closes it and apologized, took his seat. A while later, they arrived in Vilna. There were thousands of people there in the station. And the young man gets off his indignantly from his carriage, walks down, and he says to the Yidden there, what's going on here? Why is everybody standing here? There's loads of... So you don't know who's on this train? Who? He says, Basul Salanta. Really? And then before he could say anything, behind him, Basul Salanta came and departed from the train, and hundreds of people are stretching out their hands to give shulam to the... His heart sank. And to cut it short, he went the next day immediately to the living quarters of Basul Salanta, where he worked out where he is in Vilna, and came and apologized to him. Basul Salanta gave him big shulam aleichem. Before he could say one word, he says to him, ah, I hope you've had the chance to rest from the journey. How are you feeling? And he says to him, I came to it. No, don't even mention it. Chas v'shulam. Not at all. I'm moichel b'mechile gemire. Gunish geschehen. Nothing at all. And then in conversation, he says to him, so what did you come to Vilna for? He says, I came because I want to have a ksav kabula for shechita. You want to become a shechet? I can help you. My son-in-law is one of the avbezen here, and I can see that he should arrange that you should get the feher in advance. And before he could say Jack Robinson, he called his eidem, and the eidem came, and he said to him, "Dei geman eriver nashechet." And so he said to him, arrange for a feher. And they did just that, only to find to their chagrin that the young man in question had nishum zekenen zwei Blätter matoyim in Grunisch. And then they asked him simpler questions, but then Basul Salanta became aware of this, so he said, he entered the room and he said, Mestume ze miet fin de reise, he's very tired, give him a couple of days. And he said to the young man, Kum zurück noch apro tok, and we'll revise it. Came back in a couple of days, oitro aib de schoen zu kennen. But then Basul Salanta went to him and he said to him, you know, don't go away. Let's see what we can do for you. And he went to the Rosh Hashochtem of Vilna and he said to him, I ask you a personal favor, learn with this young man for 3 to 4 weeks and go over all the halachos of Shechita. And when you finish and you complete, see they should be prepared for Faher and he should know all the Nosa Kailam and know properly. You're a good teacher, Mr. Chatam Truchem, as well as a Shoichet, do the job. Basul Salanta asked, what a question. And so this is what he did. And when Basul Salanta completed when this young man had completed the few weeks which he was there, Itaka underwent the faher and passed it, and he became a shoichet. Now Basul Salanta said, yeah, it's very good, you've qualified, but have you got a place where you're going to actually be employed? He said, no, not yet. He says, but I've got a townlet not far from Vilna that they're looking for shechet, and I can work you a place there and get you employed there. And that's exactly what he did. And he went and he made the arrangements and wrote a letter and got him employed, and that's where he had a job as a shechet. Afterwards, the Talmidim of Basul Salanta heard about the story. They said to him, shattered him to such an extent, to such a... He said, why did you go to those lengths? So Basul Salanta said, the Torah says, when he behaved to me in a way where he humiliated me in the train, I felt, number one, I didn't open that window in the first place and I got screamed at. Number two, I was smoking perfectly, legitimately in a compartment which said smoking compartment, notwithstanding the fact that I was a few years older than him as well. But nonetheless, when he came to me in Vilna and he apologized, I said to him, "Bemchile gemire, emestik." And I meant it. Aber Mensch ist nur ein Buß auf dem Dom. And maybe deep down inside me, there was still al te'ina belev about this man with his behavior and the deplorable way in which he behaved towards me. So I made it my business to go to the nth degree, to do every possible thing that I could, to any stretch of imagination, to eradicate within me any talent that I might have. And now that I've already gotten the job and that he's a shochet, now I feel satisfied that there's no natira and no revenge whatsoever.
Another speaker cancels the tournament.